Okay, turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. I do know that we have some folks that are traveling, as I said a little while ago whenever I was chatting with a few of you, traveling from vacation so our numbers are a little down because of that, but I'm excited about you being here, and I feel like God has something for us from His Word. That'd be a real encouragement, so I'm looking forward to what God has for us. Now, we're going to read 1 Peter chapter number 2, verses 1 through 3. So just three verses tonight. In honor of God's Word, let's stand together as we read those verses. 1 through 3 is what we'll read. 1 Peter chapter 2. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Father, tonight I pray Your blessing one more time upon the word, and use it to speak to our hearts, and we might hear from You, please. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. We at times can be hurtful towards one another, isn't that true? In that we have struggles that we deal with in our daily life, in our daily routines, and it causes us to go back to maybe some of our old patterns. And we would find in our life, if we're living according to our flesh and our old patterns, that we're constantly going to be fighting against people that are in our life. I mean, we'll have run-ins all the time. Struggles in relationships, bitterness at times, but definitely lashing out, definitely having times where we are, you know, saying things that are hurtful, doing things that are hurtful towards others, people that are in our life, maybe somebody that is close to us as a family, and potentially people that aren't part of our family, just that were in our way. And we're having one of those days, and they just got to be a part of it. Sometimes we don't lash out, though. We close in, and that pain that we feel, the hurt that we feel, whatever it is, the struggle that we're having in our life, because we're reverting or going back to our old patterns, we have these feelings, but we internalize them, and it really creates problems with us internally. The Christians that are in the region where Paul is writing this letter, they have had some severe struggles in their Christian walk. And along the way, even in our times together last time, we saw that God had used His Word to encourage them, to cleanse them, to purify them, to give them the encouragement that they needed. And it came from the Word of God. They needed that cleansing from the Word of God. Now, God gave them a cleansing whenever He saved their soul, but in His Word, He continuously cleansed them with His Word. And so they were feeling this cleansing from God's Word, but because they lacked understanding of their circumstances, of their trials, they lacked the knowledge of how to handle these problems they were having. They were facing temptations to go back to their old patterns, and many times they were failing. They were going back and handling things according to their former lust. Look at chapter 1, verse 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance. And so they were handling these problems the way that they used to handle their problems. Have you ever felt like you lack the understanding, really the general knowledge on how to handle some of the problems you're facing? Like, what do I do from a spiritual standpoint to handle this issue that I'm having? And so we've been tempted, because we're struggling with how to handle these things, tempted to go back and handle things the way we used to. And then what we would do is we would lash out at people in anger because we're not handling things right. We'd get angry. We would go back to our addictions that we gave up because God worked in us and we gave it up, didn't we? But now we're going back because we don't know how to handle the stress that we're having. When we get saved, God's Word cleanses us. And as we learn to allow His Word to continuously cleanse us, He will increase our love for each other. And what you'll find in the church, as we saw last time, is that the Word of God, as it cleanses you, it gives you a love and a passion for God's people. You'll start to love those that are around you. But it also teaches us, and we have to apply this to our life, it teaches us that we should change our hurtful and offensive behaviors. As newborn believers, these Christians had been cleansed by God's Word, but they had to learn not only to love each other, but they needed to determine that they were going to shed some of these behaviors that they were having that were hurting and offending people that are around them. Look at verse 1. It says, "Wherefore, laying aside," watch this, "all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking." And so we get saved. That's why he said, "Wherefore?" He's speaking to all of the things he said in chapter 1. Wherefore? Remember whenever God's Word cleansed you and gave you salvation, and then you apply God's Word through the preaching and through your personal studies, and God gives you an increased love for the brethren that are around you with the cleansing of God's Word as He is cleansing you and cleansing you and cleansing you. But now you need to shed some of them lingering behaviors that are following you around that the devil is using to be offensive and to hurt the people that are around us. Now, he's encouraged these new believers to shed these behaviors. You know why? Because it was destroying the relationships they had with the people in the church that were around them. He said, "Wherefore, laying aside," in verse 1. Laying aside. That phrase, laying aside, has to do with removing or shedding, the shedding of behavior. An attitude, you know, we need to shed this thing. We need to get rid of this thing. Well, what are the behaviors? He says in the verse, the first one is malice. And so let me list these behaviors to you because we might be able to identify with a few of these behaviors. Behavior number one, malice. That's whenever we have ill will towards others. You know, it's like whenever we get upset at somebody and in our mind we think, oh, you know, it would just be really funny if they fell. Like they're walking and if they just like fell over. You know, wouldn't that just be hilarious? Or we, in our minds, we sort of have this ill will towards others and we're thinking about them and we're watching them perform an action and we think to ourselves, oh, wouldn't it just be funny if he hit himself right there? Like if he just hit himself, wouldn't that be funny? You're thinking, well, man, what's the matter with you to think like that? Well, we have those feelings sometimes and they become a part of, you know, who we are and how we think about other people. And so... feeling ill towards others. You know, I think sometimes we would love for somebody just to look, just to look bad. I would love them to say something and then look like an ignoramus, you know? Because that's what I think they are. That's ill will. That's whenever you would love to see somebody fail. That's behavior number one. Behavior number two, guile. This is where we deliberately are dishonest with people. Oh, so you mean to tell me you read 10 chapters and you memorized, you know, the book of Galatians? Oh, well, you know, bless your heart. I've memorized the book of Zechariah, and last week I read the whole Bible. So, you know, just wanted to, you know, throw that out there at you. Oh, okay. Well, God bless you there. Or, you know, whenever somebody is speaking to you and asks you to do something for them, you want to come over to the house? Oh, we can't do it today. I gotta wash the car, you know, and whenever I get done with that, I gotta clean my room, you know, and then when I get done with that, I gotta wash the, you know, give the dog a bath. You want to come and help me? Oh, let me mention this. My dog has rabies. So, and then after I wash the dog, I gotta re-roof the house. You know, and then whenever I'm done with that, if I have time, you know, we're just sort of making up this list. Why? Because we don't want to spend time with them. And so we're deliberately dishonest with them. Behavior number two. Behavior number three, hypocrisies, right? This is whenever we pretend to be something we're not around other people. This is like whenever we're on our way to church and we're thinking about somebody maybe in our mind and we say, "Oh, I sure don't like that guy." And then we get to church and we see that guy. We're like, "Hey, how's it going, brother or sister," or however we do it, you know? And then, "Oh, I sure appreciate you." Hypocrisy. "I sure do love you." Yeah. But then when we're not there, that's pretending. That's hypocrisy. We were pretending to love people. That's behavior number three. Behavior number four, envies. This is whenever you're feeling resentment or like displeasure with somebody else. This is potential whenever somebody gets to do a ministry and you don't think they deserve to be able to do it. They don't deserve to be able to do that. Matter of fact, I don't get to do ministries along the way, and so there's this resentful sort of spirit and attitude that is behavior number four. Behavior number five, evil speaking. This is whenever we think or talk about other people behind their back, and it is not nice things that we're saying. It's a G word. Somebody say it. Gossip. Oh, good job. Gossip. That's what it is. Yeah. You know, so-and-so at church, you know, I think we should pray for them. Let me just say that at first, okay? The only reason I'm bringing this up is so we can pray about it. But let me tell you about so-and-so at church. Did you see them the other day? I mean, they look like the deer staring at headlights. I think they're on drugs. I really do. I think you're on drugs. But you have no idea. Don't talk about my wife like that, by the way. But she's raising four guys that are like lunatics most of the time. And, you know, she's got a little twitch. You have no idea what's been going on in her life throughout the day. And yeah, she might look like she's a deer staring at headlights. What is that? That's whenever we are evil speaking, right? Gossip. Backbiting lies. That's what that is. That's behavior number five. And so whenever we continue to act in these types of behaviors, then what it ultimately does to the church is it destroys the church. And so we need to spit these things out of our life, don't we? Like poison. These behaviors. We've identified a few of them now, haven't we? And these behaviors are poison to God's people. If you're saved and you have Jesus Christ and He leads you along the way, and these behaviors are part of your character, they need to be removed from your life. That's what Peter is saying. Spit out like poison. So that we could crave the pure Word of God like a baby craves the pure milk of its mother. You know why? Because it makes us grow. Because we know how it tastes, the Word of God. Peter encouraged them like babies. It's interesting to me that he's telling them to spit out these poisonous attitudes, these poisonous behaviors. And then he turns around and tells them that they need to be like babies who crave the pure milk of the Word of God because it brings growth and they already understood the taste of its goodness. Look at verse number 2. "As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that ye may grow thereby. If so be that ye have tasted," watch this, "that the Lord is gracious." That word desire there means to crave. And so, we should crave God's Word. I think that is such an amazing, the imagery of that is amazing. Have you ever missed a meal? I mean, that's of course, most of us have missed a meal, right? Now, that's a big deal if you're a guy. I mean, that's a big deal. You know what I'm saying? You miss a meal, it's like, whoa, you know. Your stomach tells you. But we can survive. I mean, we'll make it, won't we, guys, if we miss a meal? Brother Chad, I'm not sure, but most of the rest of us, adults, I'm speaking, we'll be okay if we miss a meal. But what about a baby? Baby miss a meal? Not good. Babies do not miss meals. They will let you know. And they will not stop letting you know until you feed them the next meal. I remember whenever my kids would sit at the table, and occasionally they still struggle with this, but then I'll remind them. You know, they would sit at the table and complain about supper that mom just labored over. They would sit there and complain, "Oh, I don't like this, you know, what is this?" And they're stabbing at it with their fork or something. And I remember that day I got onto him. I said, "Okay, well," one of the guys was complaining about the food. I said, "Okay, well, you can go sit on the couch because you don't get to eat." And he did. And he thought I was joking. And he went and sat on the couch and he thought, "Well, Dad, he'll let me come eat in a little bit." And he never got to come eat. He missed that meal. And I'm telling you what, he'll never forget that from now to the day he dies. It changed his life. I mean, when a child misses a meal, it's life-changing. It's an event. Like, he'll never forget that. So now I just warn him. It's happened to two of my kids now. They've missed two. Each one has missed one meal. It's only happened one time. Would you like to miss the meal for complaining about things? "Oh, no, Dad, I don't want to miss it. This is great. I'm so thankful for this food. Thank you, Mom. This is the best ever." You know, they'll go on and on about it. They would, if you were to ask them, we're sitting at the table, and you were to ask them as we're getting ready to eat, "Would you rather lose a finger or this meal?" They would have to think about it. That's how much it means to them. They crave it. They crave it. We should crave the pure Word of God like a baby craves his mother's milk. I mean, we should be hungry for the Word of God. And I'm not talking about hungry and craving like we would crave rice cakes, you know? Oh, we'll get to sprinkle a little salt on the rice cakes. You know what I'm talking about, rice cakes? It's like eating, I don't know even how to explain it. It's like cardboard actually has more taste than rice cakes. It's not a good parallel there. There's no taste. It's no aftertaste. It's like eating air. That's what it is. Put salt on it, and at least you can taste that. I mean, we don't crave, right? Normally, most normal people don't crave rice cakes. But you know what something we do crave? I mean, whenever you got a half gallon of peanut butter cup, I mean, ice cream with hot fudge and whipped topping. I'm talking about the kind you can go, and then you put a cherry on top. And then you do this, just to, you know, put it in the fridge. But don't lick it while anybody else is watching. Anyway, that's, you know, we crave that. So when God tells us he wants us to crave the Word of God, he's not talking about craving rice cakes. He's talking about the peanut butter cup ice cream. That it will be something that we're excited about, eager to hear. I cannot wait to get to church tonight. I can't wait. Why? Because I get to hear the Word of God. I mean, that was such a good message. I cannot wait to get online tonight, maybe even, potentially tomorrow, and download it off of our website so I can listen to it again. I'm so excited. It's the pure Word of God. It's untainted with error, isn't it, when it's taught properly. Sincere, it says sincere in our verse. Sincere means guileless or pure without dishonest intent. And so our love for the Word of God speaks to the fact that we are thankful and love that God speaks to us from His Word because it's true and because it's right. Now I want to give you tonight a few reasons why you should crave the Word of God. And maybe we'll identify some problems in our life if we're not craving the Word of God. Okay? A couple reasons. Number one, you should crave the Word of God because it brings spiritual growth. Look at verse number two again. As newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, why? That they may grow thereby. Peter wanted these Christians to learn to crave the Word of God because it was their very sustenance for spiritual growth. The Word of God initiated their spiritual life. The Word of God sustains their spiritual life. grow here in our text means to increase or become greater. It would imply that they would become stronger in knowledge, in understanding, in wisdom, and in faith. The Word of God would give them spiritual nourishment. And we all need spiritual nourishment tonight. We need it. We all have to learn how to deal with our struggles and our trials, the problems that we're having towards one another. So whenever somebody cuts you off and they're sharp with you and they're not as kind or nice to you as you think they should be, and you're feeling like responding the way that you used to respond, that God, through His Word, the milk of His Word, would transform us and change us so that we would handle these feelings differently.
Yeah.
Or whenever somebody has used us emotionally or financially, that we would know how to handle these struggles that we're having. How frustrating is it tonight whenever somebody is dishonest with you? Isn't it frustrating whenever you deal with people who are dishonest? How does that make you want to treat them? Not like them? Or maybe tell them off depending on what they said or didn't say? How about love them? You know, I said that there might be, along the way, pretending. And so it might be a temptation that we would act like we're something we're not whenever we're in God's house. And we know that we're not being genuine. And it might be that there's not very many people that really know who you really are genuinely. It might be that we're just sort of pretending like we're something we're not. That's the hypocrisies, right? Wouldn't you say that if we're struggling in that area, that maybe we need some growth in our life? Absolutely. This is something that God wants us to spit out. But you'll not just spit things out without taking in the proper nourishment. And God changes us whenever we get His Word in us, when we take it in. Feeling resentful towards others. We get disappointed with people, and our disappointment can cause us to become angry with them because of what they did or didn't do. And this can go across the grid even with family. Whenever we are talking about what mom did say or didn't say, or what dad did say or didn't say, or how they let me down, if you're a young person here tonight, that we would need to learn how to spew these ways that we would or used to handle these things, this attitude of resentment or this attitude of anger or bitterness because I didn't get my way or because I was disappointed with how this particular circumstance went, that we would grow past that, because this is a very immature way for us to deal in our life spiritually. And Peter says we need to spit this character out of our life and we need to replace it. We need to grow spiritually. And you'll only get this by craving the Word of God, the sincere milk of the Word of God, as He begins to change us and work in us. And we grow. It's not just young people. I feel that us as adults, we get disappointed with our spouse or with our friends or others that we deal with in our life. And it can make us resentful and have that resentful attitude that we need to spit out. You know what gossip is? Gossip was when you talk about somebody and whenever they're not around, talking behind their back, you know. But you're talking about a problem that they have and you can't fix that problem. So if we talk about people and they're not around, about a problem they have, and we can't fix that problem, that's gossip. Okay? And it might be along the way that we've been doing a little bit of gossiping, talking about the problems of other people when we can't fix it. And it might be that we just need to turn those things over to God and grow a little bit past that. And the Word of God grows us. And it might be tonight that you know this intellectually, Like, you know that you need to grow past these things, and it's God's Word that will make you grow past these issues. But until you crave the Word of God, I'm not sure that it'll help us much. So we should crave His Word. Number two, we should crave the Word of God because we already know what it tastes like. Tastes pretty good, doesn't it? The Word of God. Peter expected them to crave the milk of the Word because they'd already tasted the goodness. Verse 3. If so be, ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. They'd tasted His goodness when they were delivered from their sins in salvation. And Peter is quoting or bringing this thought, and he does this through some of the book of 1 Peter, from Psalm 34, verse 8. And he has this verse, Psalm 34, verse 8, entirely in his mind when he wrote this. And it's a psalm when David, remember when David acted like he was mad and crazy in front of Abimelech? And he drooled on his beard and he looked like a crazy man, and Abimelech released him and let him go. And David wrote this psalm of thanksgiving for the deliverance that God gave to him from his afflictions. And isn't it amazing that Peter would bring that psalm into the book of 1 Peter, writing to people who are feeling these afflictions and these trials and these struggles, these Christians that were being beaten, they were being beheaded and suffering severely, and he instructed them to bear up through these sufferings, being faithful to God, who would, watch this, deliver them. Who would deliver them? And they had tasted His goodness. And you and I, if we've ever tasted God's goodness, then we understand how good it is. Don't we? There's a difference between baked spaghetti and sauerkraut. Do you know what it is? One of them's delicious and the other one is totally nasty. That's the difference. One's good and one is really bad. I hope you're talking about the baked spaghetti, because that, you know, sauerkraut's healthy. I just cannot see it. I mean, it doesn't make me feel any better, I guarantee you that. The smell of it makes me nauseous. The milk of God's Word is good. And if you've ever tasted it, if you've ever taken in as part of you, then you know that it tastes good. And it should cause us to crave it, that we would desire more, that we would want more. Crave it because we know what it tastes like. Yeah. You know, parents should not have to pry their kids out of bed to go to church on Sundays. They shouldn't. You know why? Because these kids should crave church. They should crave what they're going to get at church. We should be so excited that we're going to get to hear God's Word that there isn't anybody who has to tell us to get out of bed. Or we get so busy, we're watching the internet, or we're watching our TV, or we're doing this, or we're doing that, and it's church day. Like, oh, you know what? I think I'll just stick around home and do this. I'll go to church next time. Did you know that won't be an issue with you if you crave God's Word? I mean, I'm not talking about, like, you tolerate it, or it's a duty. Like, well, I got to be at church tonight because I got to do this. Or I need to be at church tonight because I got to do that. No, no, no. You crave it. Like you crave it, not like a rice cake, but like peanut butter cup chocolate ice cream with all that stuff on there. I mean, we can't wait to get it. We're excited about it. You know, we shouldn't decide that we're going to get up in the morning and study our Bible because we feel guilty when we don't, but because we can't wait to get it. Did you know if you've tasted Him, you know He's good? If you've tasted it, you know it's good. And you should determine to shed these hurtful and offensive behaviors, spit them out, crave the Word of God. You ever get hungry at night before bedtime? I do. You just want something out of the fridge. So you go and you grab, you know, the block of cheese. You just cut a big piece of cheese off. And you're like, That'll do. You ever craved something like that? Or a pregnant lady, I hear they crave those pickles, you know? Gotta have a pickle. Give me a 5-gallon jar of pickles. Just hook it up. You're gonna watch a movie, what do you want? Get some popcorn. Right? You crave that popcorn. I wanted some popcorn last night. We didn't have any, so. You get stressed out, what do you want? You want some chocolate. You ever crave that chocolate? You got a taste for it? You want it? Brother Chad was wanting a soda today. Never have cravings for soda, but I totally understand, because for any reason you want coffee, I get it. Coffee. We crave these things. You know what we should crave? God's Word. The milk of the Word. Drink the pure milk of God's Word and get rid of the poison. And we can be so hurtful to each other, even to the ones we love. But I question tonight, what difference would it make in our life if we just had this irresistible hankering for God's Word? Like there was nothing, I mean, it was just like, I've got to get it today. I've got to get the Word in me today. So you get up, and it's not a duty for you. I mean, you don't get up and read your Bible because, you know, you got to read your Bible, or we're going to go to church today because, you know, we got to go to church. No, I've got to have this. I am so excited. I'm not talking about, you know, just, you know, having this duty and fulfilling these, going through the motions. I'm talking about a craving for the Word of God. A craving for it. That's what we should have. And we need to learn this, because it's not a natural part of who we are as Christians. We need to learn this. And so Peter tonight is telling these Christians that they should spit these bad behaviors out, and they should have a craving for God's Word. And tonight I guess I just have a question for you. I didn't ask you if you're here tonight. I know you're here. I didn't ask you if you read your Bible. I'm not asking that. I'm asking, do you crave the Word of God? You crave it. And you understand what I mean by craving, if you can relate with something that you do crave. And if tonight your answer is, I don't crave God's Word, then we need to get on our knees tonight. And we need to ask God to give us that hankering for His Word, so that we're so excited that we just can't wait. Father, tonight I pray that You'll help us to, Lord, be excited about Your Word, and Lord, to allow Your Word to change us, and to, Lord, speak to us tonight. Lord, help us to make a decision that we would desire Your Word, that we would crave Your Word. And Lord, if tonight we're just not there, we beg You to give us that craving, the excitement for Your Word, please. And we'll give You glory in Jesus' name. Amen.